hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
I want you to follow this story very carefully. Esther chapter 4, from verse 15 to 17. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I'll go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace. I want you to note where she stood, in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight. I want you to underline favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Note the golden scepter that is in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. I like that. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom." I want you to underline up to half of the kingdom. Now remember, this is a woman who is not sure whether she will survive. She's going in as an underdog. She's not going in knowing the power she has. She's a queen who doesn't know her power. She's a queen who thinks that even if she's bold to try to speak to the king, she may die. So you can, in this analogy, see Esther as at the king's right hand. Esther is the queen. She sits in the place of authority, of power, of favor, of influence, and yet she doesn't know what she has. And when she's threatened, she doesn't even know she can do something about it. And even if she tries to do something about it, she thinks she may not survive. You know, Esther is the picture of believers. We are married to the king. We are the bridegroom. We are the bride of the bridegroom. Jesus is the bride. We are his bridegroom. We are seated in him. And yet we don't know that we can enter his holy place. And we are afraid that if we are bold to make a demand, we may be killed. I want you to see four things about this story. When Esther decides to act, she does four things. Number one is boldness, boldness of access. The Bible says she stood in the inner court. She came boldly herself. She didn't ask for somebody to stand in front of her. She didn't ask for a mediator. She didn't ask for an intermediary. She stood and she entered in the palace at the place designed for her. The inner court is her portion because that is where she belongs. But she's always been afraid. Maybe somebody told her, "Be careful. The former queen came here once and she died. Be very careful. Although you are queen, don't go to the inner chambers." You know, many times people will tell you, "Well, you are a Christian, be careful. But you know, you have to be careful. You have to moderate this. Don't believe God too much." Because I know people who believe God. They believe God, it didn't happen. They say, "God will do it, God will do it, God will do it." It didn't happen. So you be very careful. So that probably that's what she's been told. Be very careful. But this day, she says, "If I perish, I perish. I am going boldly to the place that is assigned for me. I'm not staying to the outer court for somebody to announce my presence. I am going there unannounced in the inner court because that man there is my husband. Boldness. Somebody say boldness. If you're going to reign with Christ, you're going to need boldness. You have to come to the presence of God boldly. The second thing you notice about Esther is grace. She had boldness, and in the boldness she received grace. She found favor in his sight. The king was wowed. The Bible says she put on her royal garment. I don't know what that royal garment is. But obviously, when the king saw that royal garment, he said in his head, wow, what a wife I have. For us believers, our royal garment is not something that you buy from Woolworths or something that your tailor makes for you or seamstress friend makes for you. Our royal garment is the garment of righteousness. When we put on our garment of righteousness, there is no place in the throne room of God we cannot enter. There is no place in God's presence we cannot enter. We come boldly, clothed in the righteousness which is ours through Jesus Christ. Esther came in her royal garment. She came boldly. And she obtained grace. And the next thing, number three, is that when she obtained grace, she was given access to the scepter, righteousness. She touched the scepter. Touching the scepter means she can now stand before the king without condemnation. When she was coming in, she was not sure if she would be accepted. And she said, if I perish, I perish. But now, she touches the scepter. When she touches the scepter, you know what she was indicating? She was also indicating, I am now a joint ruler with the king. He is not the only one holding the scepter. The scepter is also in my hand. Now, we rule together. The scepter in God's kingdom is righteousness. When we have access to God's righteousness, now we rule together. And the last thing I want you to notice is rulership. Rulership. The king asked her, what do you want? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom. She has full access to the king's kingdom. She can share the kingdom with the king. She is now reigning with the king. Boldness, grace, righteousness gives you access to reign in life. Boldness, grace, righteousness gives you access to reign in life. And the king asks, what do you want? Up to half of the kingdom. She says, well, I don't, if you read the rest of the story, I don't even, the kingdom is too big for me. Just come to dinner. Come and eat. Come, let me serve you. Come, let me worship at your feet. Come, let me honor you. Let me just give you praise. What do you want? Lord, I don't need anything now. I just want to worship you. What do you want? Lord, I just want to worship you. And after the meal, the king says, what do you want again? He says, I just want to serve you. Just come again, and I just want to worship. I just want to give you food. And she did that. The king comes a second time. And the king now is ready to give everything to Esther and ask, what do you really want? And at that man, Haman, at that moment, Haman walks in and sees Esther before the king, holding the scepter of righteousness. Now the man is in trouble. He says, that guy, I want him to also come. and worship with us. And afterwards, he tells the king very softly, not wild, not no. He says, this gentleman here, your chief of staff, has built a gallows to hang my uncle and my people, and later he'll kill me too. And the Bible says the king's face, as if something just fell upon his face. Haman knew his future has been decided, not by the king, but by Esther. Because Esther walked in boldly, she found grace, she possessed righteousness as a scepter, and she reigned with the king to determine the destiny of the Jews. That is an Old Testament picture, but that is our New Testament reality. When we come boldly to the throne of grace, the Bible says we will find grace. When you come boldly, he says, come boldly before the throne of grace and you will find grace. Let me tell you this thing. God's reason for making you a joint heir with Christ is to show you the exceeding riches of his grace. You can never know how much grace God can show you until you are bold. You can have grace for rent. You can have grace to buy a house. You can have grace for your sickness. You can have grace to marry. You can have grace to have a child. You can have grace for your children to be righteous. You can have grace to build a church. You can have grace to build a business. It's a manifold grace. But you will never know what grace you can access until you are bold. And there are too many timid believers. They believe God for what they can conveniently achieve. And because it is easy, God himself knows that they don't trust him for it. But when we come boldly, if I perish, I perish, and we find grace, then we can touch the scepter and reign with him. And I pray that you would learn to reign with Christ. Rule over your enemies. Rule over attacks of the enemy. Rule over pain. Rule over sickness. Rule over disease. Rule over sin. Rule over Satan. Rule over principalities and powers. There may be a Haman attempt on your life, but you can touch the scepter of righteousness and rule over it. There may be a plan of the enemy to destroy you in the next week coming, but you can touch the scepter of righteousness and rule over it. We reign in life. Final scripture. Final scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 26. I'll read it, comment on it, and I'm through. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Note that. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till all his enemies have been put under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He must reign till all his enemies are put under his feet. So, whilst he's reigning, not all the enemies have been put under his feet. But he must continue reigning. See, the problem with Christians is when we are reigning with Christ and we see some areas of our lives that have not been put under our feet, we stop reigning. But the Bible says, even if there are areas in your life that are still not under your feet, continue reigning till all the enemies. Not all the enemies will be under your feet in one day. You will not overcome all your problems in one day. Sometimes you have a victory, sometimes you don't. Sometimes your prayer is answered, sometimes it's not answered. Sometimes you have victory, sometimes you don't have victory. But you don't stop reigning. You continue reigning and reigning and reigning till all your enemies have been put under your feet. Maybe today there is an enemy that is not under your feet. Maybe money is not under your feet. Maybe your health is not under your feet. Maybe your marriage problem is not under your feet. But you don't stop reigning. You reign till all your enemies are under your feet. It's like a king who goes to battle. You go to battle. You reign in one country. You are trying to take another territory. You don't say because you can't take another territory, you won't reign in your kingdom. You reign till all your enemies are under your feet. Each one of us here, there are some enemies under our feet, and there are some enemies we haven't conquered yet. Some have not conquered their health problems. It is not under your feet, but very soon it will be under your feet. Some have not conquered their financial problem. It is not under your feet, but very soon it will be under your feet. Some have marriage problems. They have not put it under their feet, but very soon it will be under your feet. Don't be discouraged by the enemies that are not under your feet. If they are not there, they will be there. You reign till all your enemies are under your feet. And don't look at the enemy that is not under your feet and be discouraged. Say, I have prayed and prayed and prayed. This thing is not being solved. Well, you continue reigning till all your enemies are under your feet. And that is what Christ is doing. He's reigning till all his enemies are under his feet. And the last enemy, the Bible says, is death. And when that happens, the Bible says, then all the kingdoms and all authority and all dominion will be under his feet. Satan's power will be totally paralyzed, and Jesus will reign from the rising of the sun until its setting. But until that day comes, he continues reigning. He continues reigning. He continues reigning. Listen to me. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. That thing will be under your feet very soon. Don't get discouraged. Keep being at the top. Keep sitting on that throne. Keep confessing you are the king. Keep declaring your victory. Keep walking in victory, because you must reign until all your enemies are under your feet. You must. You ask me, Pastor, are all your enemies under your feet? No. There are issues I have that I've prayed for that are not under my feet yet, but they will be under my feet. And I'm not going to say, I prayed over this thing for so long and I haven't seen any result, so the Bible doesn't work, God doesn't work, this faith thing doesn't work, this promise doesn't work. It works. I am reigning in some areas. I am not reigning in some areas. But I'm going to reign till all my enemies are under my feet. You're going to reign. You're going to reign. You're going to reign. I said, you're going to reign. You're going to reign. There are some enemies that everybody subdues differently. There are some enemies people have that they've subdued that you haven't subdued. And there are some enemies you have subdued that they haven't subdued. Some have subdued a health problem. You are having a health challenge. And you have subdued financial problem. They have financial challenge. There are many enemies yet to be subdued, but we will still reign till all our enemies are under our feet. That's what Jesus is doing. So Jesus, at this moment, he's sitting in heaven and just subduing one at a time, 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 one at a time. And he keeps subduing and subduing. And guess what? We are in him also subduing those things one at a time, and subduing and subduing and subduing and subduing and subduing and subduing. And one day you're going to look around and say, the next enemy It says, no enemy, because all my enemies are under my feet.